Hi everyone, thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Miro and I'll be your host for today's show. With me today is author Sophie Devonshire. How are you today, Sophie?
I'm good. Great to be here.
It's great to have you on the podcast and thanks for taking the time, of course, to join us. And we're very happy to have you on today. Sophie is an experienced business leader, entrepreneur and brand specialist. Her career includes brand management in Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, brand strategy for Interbrand and group account director for Leo Burnett in the Middle East. She founded, managed and sold an e-commerce business and was the CEO of luxury gifts brand where she doubled the turnover. All practical experiences which help ensure a grounded business understanding with a strategic brand consultancy. She is also the CEO of the Caffeine Partnership. And again, very happy to have you on the podcast, Sophie. And let's get into today's discussion and of course, super fast. So my first question for you is the one I ask any author on the podcast, and that's what actually inspired you to become an author and start writing?
Well, it started out of curiosity. So I researched the theory behind Superfast and the questions in it because I wanted to help the leaders who are my clients and friends. So I could see they were hugely frustrated at times because progress was moving too slow in their organizations. But equally, they were also, a lot of them, finding it very challenging because the relentless pace and expectations that of today's world can put a lot of pressure on leaders as well. So I wanted to understand a bit more about how good leaders manage, how they exhibit grace under pressure, but also how they speed up success. But it started out of curiosity, the research, and then I decided to write about it when I realised how few women write and publish business books.
Right.
That does seem to be something that's changed a lot in the world of fiction, the gender balance, but in non-fiction and particularly in business books, there are very few women who are writing and speaking about business. And we often work with female senior leaders and talk to them about speaking up, speaking out, sharing their points of view. So it seemed only right that I should do that as well.
Great.
It was probably a question of timing. So the ancient Greeks have two words for timing. I'm sure you've heard this, but I think it's important to remember them. So the first is chronos, chronology, the way in which we see time today.
And the god of time as well.
And kairos, which is the opportune moment, the time is now. So it felt like the right time to be talking about speed in business and the right time for me to be writing about it.
Great, fantastic. And let's talk about the book and the ideas in there, because leading with the right pace is, I think, now more relevant than any time when it comes to business, simply because of the rapid change, innovation, and just disruptions all around us. What are the factors behind this? You know, what has changed for us to have, you know, this increase in the pace and we just have to keep up with it?
The two main factors that have made the difference are very simple. They're technology and transparency. So as you say, everybody's talking about disruption. It's the buzzword. Things are changing, and that is because of the power, the exponential change that's happening with technology. And it's really exciting. It makes so many things possible, and it's exhilarating for people. But people are nervous about disruption because that it does mean change, and leaders don't quite necessarily know what that means for them. So that requires a change in mindset for those leaders and for those organisations. So we've got this crazy world where Uber can go from nothing to $58 billion valuation in just 5 years, where Marriott hotels celebrate reaching a million rooms, and it takes them 58 odd years to get there, whereas it takes Airbnb 7 years to reach the same goal. And you've got Dollar Shave Club launching and being sold for $1 billion after only 5 years. You've got Facebook, which now has more users than there were people alive on this planet 100 years ago. It's exciting, it's exhilarating, but technology is driving that pace of change. And companies are disappearing fast as well. It's not just they're growing. We've heard a lot of recent companies going under. We know startups often don't really make it to the 5 year mark. And of the 100 companies that are in the FTSE 100 in 1984, there's only 24 that are still breathing now. So there's a lot of pace and pressure from that technological change. And then there's transparency as well. So the technology's also enabled a greater sense of transparency so that organisations are being judged by their insides as well as how they communicate. And that's made a huge difference.
Mm, and also they've been judged all the time as well, simply by the nature of being connected to their audience and, of course, being intertwined with each other. And let's delve a bit deeper in this, because this is very interesting. So how can we keep up our pace when it comes to making the difficult decisions, which sometimes traditionally might take a lot longer, you know, especially in certain cultures around the world, making a business decision, you know, having everyone sit around the table and discuss in length and detail, as I think is a luxury, and not many companies and business leaders can afford that. So how do we keep up with it when the going gets tough?
That is absolutely critical when it comes to getting the speed and the pace right. Because, of course, too slow is stupid. You can have analysis paralysis. If you slow down the decision making, you lose the chance, the opportunity to make a difference. But too fast is foolhardy. If you move too fast and you don't pause to think and you don't get the right facts as quickly as possible, that's as dangerous too. So you're absolutely right. Getting the tempo of decision making and working out how to do that is one of the things that has really challenged a lot of the leaders that I interviewed in the research for the book. And when you look at the different cultures across the world, there's huge challenges around that. But knowing who makes the decisions, knowing when it's decision time, can make a huge difference. So a lot of problems happen and corporate torpor happens when people are trying to second guess other people's decision making, or it's not quite clear who's making the decision. And often decisions are discussed over and over and over again without someone saying, this is the time. Sheryl Sandberg and Mark Zuckerberg famously talk about meetings being either discussion meetings or decision meetings. So things as simple as that can help speed up. Now is the time for a decision. You can also use a supermodel. There are so many different models out there which can help you make sure you're getting the right input, whether you're taking inspiration from the military. So there's the famous OODA model, which is where you observe, orient, decide, and then act. That forces people to go through those decisions, pausing to think, the power of the pause. Or whether you use another model, which allows you to make sure you're getting the decision-making from everybody, but you're doing it at speed. Then there's also the nervousness about making decisions. And if you can find a way to look at what happens if it's the wrong decision, is it a two-way door that we're going through or a one-way door? How quickly can we get fast feedback from our customers, our consumers, or our clients? So thinking about the implications of the decisions can help everybody. But the first thing any leader could do if they wanted to sabotage their company, if they wanted it to completely fail, would be to increase the number of decision-making people and to make it confusing about where and when the decisions would be being made. So it's absolutely the priority to focus on.
Right, fascinating insight there. And we briefly touched upon the idea of technology, but let's talk a bit about that more, because I think it plays just such an important part. And, you know, you can discuss about the different factors and the different ways technology is used, the different sectors, and we could be here for weeks and we wouldn't even scratch the surface. But, you know, as an overarching view, what role does technology play when it comes to innovation and especially change in organizations?
I've just watched this weekend, I just watched Incredibles 2.
Okay. No, I haven't. Does it live up to the
It's beautiful hype? Graphics, okay. and great fun, you know, fun film. But what's fascinating is it deals with this topic that's on so many people's mind at the moment, which is, will technology save us or will it enslave us? So in the film, you see what role technology plays, the most amazing, incredible cartoon technology plays to get people places faster, to save the world, and of course how dangerous technology can be. But overall, if you're looking at organisations, making sure that you have a sense of the potential of technology can make a huge difference. So there's the obvious things. Always ask, here's our project, here's what we want to do, what will speed us up? And sometimes the accelerators will be human. They could be partners, you could be buying something, they could be teams, consultants that can help. And often they will be technological. So what exists? AI is incredible. You know, the potential for what's happening with both artificial intelligence and augmented intelligence, making sure there are people in your organization that understand the implications for you today and in the future. But actually, I think technology helps not just in the innovation side of it all, but in organizing the thinking and the communication and the collaboration tools. So Slack, Trello, ones that check, tools that check what the culture is like, so TinyPulse, CultureAmp, all these tools give people quicker, faster, more useful data points and communication access, which makes a huge difference. And lastly, tracking tools. So innovation is not just a spark that happens and then it's done. It requires persistence. It requires development. You need to keep failing. You need to keep developing it all. And that can be pretty demotivating for those working on it. It can be hard, hard work. And actually having tracking tools that show you how you're progressing can make a huge difference to the psychology of the organization and those people working on it. What gets measured gets treasured. What gets measured gets done. So technology can help in all these different areas. So overall, understanding how technology can speed you up and help you should always be one of the first questions you look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a very fascinating point you raised there, where, you know, in the past, we've often looked at technology as something to just speed up a process, make it easier. And I watched this absolutely mind-blowing documentary, and just because I have to mention this, and they were talking about how they make Parmesan cheese. And they were saying, you know, all the innovations in their machines that would flip the cheese and that make sure there's no mold on there, and all sorts of things that, you know, let's say 50 years ago would be mind-blowing, and now they're just part of it. And that's the part that everyone, you know, is usually talking about, how to make the process easier, how to make it more, you know, convenient for us. But, you know, that part you say there about, you know, tracking progress, measuring what is done, and having, in a way, impacting that human aspect onto technology is perhaps the more important of the two, which can then lead the other one.
So it's about asking, how can technology help the humans? You know, augmented intelligence, how can we work together? Because it's human stupidity that's extremely worrying.
Right.
Whereas artificial intelligence can help. But also helping the people in the organization do their job better, enjoy their job more, and develop their creativity. Technology can support that in so many different ways. I think it's an incredibly exciting time to be in business. The potential that we've got is really positive.
Yeah, fantastic. And we've already mentioned a few names in terms of examples of organizations that have adopted various different models of being able to keep up with the pace. But can you give us an example of an organization that perhaps you've come across or that you've worked with recently that manages to incorporate the methodology behind the book?
There are so many good examples. And I think when we talk about speed, it's very easy to focus in on the fast-moving startups and the scale-ups. In some ways, it's a bit easier for them without a legacy and with the way in which it works. But actually, I have a lot of respect for the bigger organisations who are still keeping up the pace, even when they're super tankers. And understanding how that works is very interesting. But I think the sort of organisations who manage to do this well, you've got the tech-led companies, who also have a strong mission and purpose. So you've got people like Unruly, which is a fantastic video tech company, which sold to News International for £124 million a couple of years ago. They've got an incredible culture, which invests in its people and its pace. And Farfetch, which is a luxury aggregator, is growing at a vertiginous pace. And they get it right in terms of having a strong culture and strong values, as well as a relentless focus on speed and success. And then you've got the bigger companies who've been around for longer and who are still moving at speed. Google has to be mentioned. You know, they only took 10 days to acquire YouTube. And that kind of speed is fantastic. And Unilever, which is one of the most surprising organizations when it comes to the incredible pace it can achieve. And for them, a lot of that is down to purpose. In fact, for all these organisations who get it right, often it's mission-led, purpose-led organisations who have a clear sense of direction for everybody internally. And that means they can set the direction and they can delegate people to move at the right speed and to be able to have the autonomy to make the right decisions. And then you get leaders who are being both responsible by doing the right thing by their organisation and their people, and also really responsive so they can seize the opportunities that come their way.
Yeah, and there's something you say there which I think is a very strong message currently, and that's this idea of purpose. You know, it seems to be a talking point across, you know, all parts of business everywhere. I mean, you look at, let's say, LinkedIn, for example, and the amount of content you see on purpose in people trying to get that message across, it's actually quite staggering. Why do you think that is? What is this purpose revolution that seems to be happening all the time now?
It's happening because organizations understand that a sense of purpose can deliver pace. So we have to work with humans. No matter how much technology advances, it's people that make the difference. And giving people a sense of why the organization can help other people can be hugely motivating, can be a foundation and a filter for the decisions you make. And then from an individual's perspective, we work hard. People work hard. They want to feel they are making a contribution. So giving them an understanding of what their purpose is can really accelerate success. And I think it's happening because we are building a society where everybody understands how business and the rest of humanity is directly interlinked. It goes back to the transparency point from earlier. So brands are built from inside out. It's how the organization behaves that now builds its brand as much as how it advertises. And that has to start with a sense of direction. So we talk a lot about speed. The book's called Superfast, Lead at Speed. But actually it's more about velocity. And velocity is speed in the right direction. So setting that purpose first is what will make all the difference to the pace.
Right, fascinating. And to close off, there is a question I ask everyone that comes on a podcast, Sophie, and that's, what are you currently reading? Or perhaps do you have any recommendations for our listeners?
I've got two great recommendations. So I always try to have two books on the go, one fiction and one non-fiction. Normally one on my phone and one in a beautiful paperback or hardback that I can take everywhere. And I've just finished John Boyne's The Heart's Invisible Furies, which is a beautiful, beautiful fiction novel, very good for the beach. Highly recommend it. And I'm just at the moment reading Factfulness, which is by Hans Gosling. And it's really one of the most interesting books I've ever read. All about what's happening with the world and a very optimist's point of view in terms of actually progress is being made, and progress is being made very fast. So highly recommended.
Yeah, and just on that point, I always find it great when you do have pieces of content or books, whatever it may be, that actually go on the positive side of things and say, you know, that actually things are being, you know, getting better for the longest time, and perhaps we should be focusing on what's improving instead of always being, you know, the glass is half empty kind of thing. But you know, if our listeners find this interesting, there will be links in the description so you can go and you can check out those books as well. But with that, Sophie, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much.
And to those listening, of course, if you enjoyed our conversation today and you'd like to find out more, links in the description below can be found so you can, you know, get your hands on Superfast, Lead at Speed, find out more about the book, and of course, the Caffeine Partnership and Sophie herself. And this has been the third podcast in our series with the Caffeine Partnership. So go back and check out our previous two episodes. They will be in the description below so you can catch up on that as well. And I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. It's always a privilege to have you join us every week, and you can find us on social media at Lit Radio, and I look forward to seeing you next week.